Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
It's the Nerdcast Season 5, Episode 3, Redo is what we'll call this one.
So, everyone, welcome to the Nerdcast Season 3, Episode 3.1, a.k.a. Iggy's Folly, a.k.a. Did you push the goddamn button?
Season 3? I thought it was Season 5.
Oh, sorry, Season 5, whatever. I was trying to do the 3.1. It's Episode 3.1 because hit the button.
We had some technical difficulties. To explain how this episode's going to play out, you're going to hear us for about half an hour without Adam. Bob, Tyler, Aaron, myself are all here. And then you're going to hear us for a half hour with Adam. There's a possibility some things might be repeated. There's a possibility some things in that second half hour won't connect to the first half hour, although they say they do. And the reason for that is some technical difficulties that have made us record the first half again. And by technical difficulties, I'm getting there. I mean, I forgot to hit the record button. So, anyways, episode 3.1, as Tyler has so dubbed it, and that's where we'll go.
I'm upset that we're going to have all these broken callbacks.
Broken callbacks. So, in the second half of the episode, we'll reference a few things that we'll talk about in the first one, and I've made a list of a few of them that I know we've got to talk about. And the episode's titled Guilty Pleasures. So, now we've actually just had more time to think about our Guilty Pleasure movies. Because we'll cover that some. And that whole conversation got brought up by Pixels, which Aaron still defends in the second half of the episode. So what we have to do, we have to set the stage to where Pixels is out this weekend. The rest of us realize it's going to be terrible. And now that we've seen some reviews, we can even defend that.
Oh, my God. Those are bad.
Aaron is defending it.
It's not that she's just defending Pixels, having sight unseen. She's defending pretty much the entire library that is that is Happy Madison Productions.
Yeah. No. Hold on. Because they touch people's hearts, and there's no amount of defending that needs to even go into that. Why are you guys laughing?
Whose hearts do they touch? How do they touch hearts?
I don't know. There's just something about them. It's an emotional thingy. I don't know. I just, like, you know, I watched Jack and Jill, and I was surprisingly just kind of like,
If I think about an Adam Sandler movie touching someone in a place, it conjures like a prosecution attorney holding a doll asking a child to ask them, where did the movie touch you? Where did it touch you?
Oh, my goodness.
Right in the hearts, Tyler. Right in the hearts.
Can you show me on the doll where he touched you?
Well, I'd have to rip it open.
Worst of all. Yeah. Of all the Adam Sandler movies she uses to defend it, she goes with Jack and Jill.
Well, I'm saying, you guys, the reason why I go with Jack and Jill and the reason why I'm not I'm going into Pixels with not like the hugest of hopes for it being the most amazing thing in the whole wide history of the world in terms of getting a super awesome score on Rotten Tomatoes, because it won't probably, according to, you know, today.
10% at this point by release. 10%.
But Jack and Jill was exactly the same, and yet it was still, I don't know, somehow it was just cute. It was adorable.
Here's the thing about Jack and Jill. It did crappy at the box office compared to Wedding Singer, compared to 50.
Hold on, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
That sounds a lot better. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. Well, Jack and
Jill. It's back to normal.
Yeah, you need to pop. Jack, yeah, you need to get there. There you go.
Jack and Jill, can you hear me now?
Yeah, just keep it right in that same exact place.
Keep it in the sweet spot. Okay. So Jack and Jill sucked at the box office compared to most of Adam Sandler's earlier movies. It was terrible. It was flat out awful. I mean, and I like some of Adam Sandler's movies, but Jack and Jill, Little Nicky, he kind of hit a wall there, and after that, it just went straight to crap.
Well, two things. So in the previously unrecorded first half of this episode, we talked about how Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore were good. And then even a few good ones up until, like you mentioned, Little Nicky is where we mentioned that was kind of the decline of the Happy Madison stuff. We even, you know, some of us even, it was kind of a mixed feeling on Mr. Deeds and what was it, Big Daddy. And it was, we talked about there were certain things that won it and not. The other thing I wanted to bring up, guys, is I wanted to defend Erin here for a second. Because I don't think she realizes what Jack and Jill is. I think she's referencing the wrong movie if she's defending it that much. No, Erin, do you know which one Jack and Jill is? It's where Adam Sandler plays the guy and the girl?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I tried to help here, but I guess.
Can't defend that.
Didn't he win like a record-breaking amount of Razzies for that movie, too?
Yeah. He's nominated every year for a Razzie for actor, actress, film.
He did something that no one has ever done. He won the Razzie for both Best Actor and Best Actress for that movie.
That's right.
No, that's not true, because Sandra Bullock did that.
No.
Sandra Bullock, actor.
She won a Best Actress Oscar and a Best Actress.
Why do we have to bring gender into this? Again, you guys are just bringing penises and vaginas into the argument for no apparent reason.
Because he played somebody with a penis and a vagina.
Exactly.
Terribly on both parts, I might add.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
So, Pixels, Erin, we recorded this originally on Monday night. Erin defended it. Now we're at Wednesday to get the redo of this first half, and we've seen more reviews. And it's not just bad reviews. It's like reviewers furious with the fact that they had to sit through that movie even. And I'm talking professional reviewers. I'm not talking people like that are on like this blog gets 100 views a month and somebody went on a rant and it got lucky and got shared online. No, these are people that write for sites that get millions upon millions of views a month that are ranting like they just lost the 2 hours of their life to this terrible thing.
When Kevin James plays the president of the United States, you know it's a bad movie.
Wait, Kevin James is the president in that movie?
Yes.
Wow.
And he's Adam Sandler's childhood friend who recruits his friend he used to know as a
Oh no. Player. That's really bad, guys. Oh no. Oh.
The best part about it is that she so went to bat for the movie based off of what, like half a trailer.
No, that's not even it.
Went to bat because of Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
And you guys don't even know. Like, okay, the whole premise of Jack and Jill is stupid. Like, the premise of Billy Madison is just utterly stupid. Are you kidding me? He goes back to school, like, starting in preschool? It's just...
There are good Adam Sandler movies. There are defendable Adam Sandler movies, and then there's Jack and Jill. Like, I'm serious. Like,
and it sounds
Billy
like Pixels.
I will go to bat for Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore as comedies. I will defend parts of Waterboy or Big Daddy, and even Mr. Deeds. And then I will totally go to bat for some of his other stuff like Punch Drunk Love. And then there's things like Little Nicky and apparently Pixels and... I think maybe the worst of them all, Jack and Jill. There's literally nothing redeeming that can be said about that movie.
So this whole conversation last time led us into a very big conversation about guilty pleasures for movies. And we went into a lot of detail about it, but now we've had a little bit more time to think about it. Does anybody remember? I can't even remember what Adam picked as guilty pleasures since he's not here.
I honestly can't remember.
He definitely, he went to bat for cheesy classic horror movies.
That's right. But we said those didn't really count because in many ways, a lot of those, like he was talking about
a cult classic can still be a bad movie and it can still be a guilty pleasure, I think.
Okay. Bob, did you have a chance to think of more or revisit your list of guilty pleasures?
Well, right now, my guilty pleasure is Sharknadoes.
he did just give us like a 20-minute rundown on Sharknado 3 as we were getting connected here, and we finally had to be like, Bob, we've got to get started. But I think he wrote down or he did what those made for TV movies that sometimes you can order this now, and if you order the next 5 minutes, you get the script for free. I think they sent him a digital version of it because he was giving us the complete rundown of the script there.
God, it was craptastic.
No, but you also mentioned you reviewed it back in the day. This one always stands out to me for you, Bob, because we were doing Blu-ray reviews and it came in and you were so eager to review it. And that was Bringing Down the House with Queen.
Oh, yes. Queen Latifah and Steve Martin. And, oh God, who was that? Eugene Levy.
Yeah, Sharknado, Bringing Down the House, some bad ones there. I don't know. Yeah. Those are, you'd have to.
And in any movie that uses Die Hard in a, as a part of their advertising.
That's right. So the over-the-top action, which brought us to, because Aaron couldn't think of anything, but then we mentioned a few for you, Aaron, were some over-the-top action.
Yeah. I really, really like over-the-top stupid action. Like, oh, shoot 'em up.
See, I think Shoot 'Em Up's a good movie, though. Like, I think everyone agreed that was a good – Gamer's not a good movie.
Gamer was the one. What was the other one? What was the other one that came up? Crank. Crank, but Crank, Tyler even brought up last time. That's defendable. And it was – at that time, Crank was different. So that was also –
Crank is what's the word it's looking for? Like, it's tapping its nose the whole time. Like, it knows what it's doing. Like, it's – it's in on the joke, and it's playing it up for major laughs.
Shoot 'em up, so shoot 'em up to that. Yeah,
Shoot 'em Up is definitely playing with like those tropes of those.
Like,
kind of
what's up, Doc? While he's eating the carrot and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, shoot. Yeah, Shoot 'Em Up. What was it? Was it Clive Owens in that one?
Clive Owen,
Monica Bellucci, and then
Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti is so good in that movie.
There's a big difference between a movie like that with Clive Owens and a movie like Crank with Jason Statham.
Well,
I mean, you definitely have a talent.
I think the biggest problem is that they're tongue in cheek. Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that's the best thing is those two specifically, Crank and Shoot 'Em Up, are winking at the camera the whole time. Like, they're in on the joke and playing it up for laughs, where you get into a movie like Gamer that could have done that, but instead plays it as straight as it possibly can, and it just makes it look more ridiculous.
Now, Crank 2, that's out.
The problem with Gamer, and I don't hate Gamer to the level Tyler, and Adam was with Tyler last time we were discussing this, ripping it pretty hard. I think the problem with Gamer is like you said, is it has this ability over here with this fun action, and it has this serious message it wants to portray, and I think it muddies it up a little bit, and I can see why a lot of people hate it. I don't love it as much as Aaron, but I don't hate it as much as everybody else, because you guys were going at it last time.
I like it more than I like Jack and Jill.
That doesn't take much. I mean, it doesn't take much, right?
There are many movies I've seen that I didn't like more than Jack and Jill.
Tyler, what were some of your guilty pleasures again?
I definitely have I don't, as a general rule, typically get on board with romantic comedies, but every now and then one comes along that I definitely is a guilty pleasure for me. I think some that I threw out was, number one, I love the movie You Got Mail, and that's still actually a pretty solid movie.
That's what's her name that direct, because Sleepless in Seattle is the same point. Those are just well written.
Nora Ephron.
Yeah.
And it's now, two that are not as good that I love the movie Wimbledon for some reason with Paul Bettany and what's her name? Is it not
Kirsten Dunst?
Kirsten Dunst. And I like the movie, God, I can't think of the name of it. It's the one with Mark Ruffalo and Reese Witherspoon, where she's like the girl in the coma and moves into her apartment and keeps seeing like her ghost. Like,
didn't you say it was like something like
something heaven, with not, something just like heaven or something?
It was just like heaven.
You lost me at Reese Witherspoon in a rom com.
It's got what's his name in it? I can't think of his name. Who plays the best friend of Mark Ruffalo? The guy he plays Bullock in Gotham, and he was in Vikings and Terriers. I can't think of his name now. I love the guy, and he's really funny in it. He has a funny joke about when they're trying to steal her from the hospital. And then after we kind of finished the last half of the episode, I remembered I'm also a big sucker for a lot of musicals. So I know you guys have made fun of me before. I love Moulin Rouge.
I won't make fun of you. I give you a hard time for Moulin Rouge because I don't think it's that good. And no, it's not even that one. It's Chicago. And I think Bob,
I don't like Chicago.
Bob, I think, defends Chicago. I think Chicago's terrible. But I'm with you. I will give musicals a more of a chance than they probably should. Case in point was that more recent one. Well, it was a lot of noise. More recent one with Tom Cruise.
Rock of Ages?
Yeah.
Rock of Ages. See, that's, and that one, I enjoyed that one because I'd seen the actual, like, show, like a stage show, and it's just it's an adaptation of a Broadway play, which is kind of fun.
And Tom Cruise was actually really good in that.
Yeah. And as much as they make me furiously angry, at the same time, I get super wrapped up into a really terrible, like, teen adaptations of really poor adaptations of Shakespeare. So like a 10 Things I Hate About You or...
Oh, that's a fun movie. And that hit us right at the right age.
Because I love Shakespeare. Like if you put on like Kenneth Branagh's Much Ado About Nothing or even Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing or the Mel Gibson Hamlet, like I love real Shakespeare.
I
watch those ones where they do like a really shitty loose adaptation of Shakespeare play and I'll get mad at it. But at the same time, like I'll watch She's the Man, even though it's like literally the worst 12th Night adaptation ever. They just give people stupid names and a girl pretends to be a boy. And look, it's a Shakespeare adaptation, but I'll get down with that. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to say it.
And 10 Things I Hate About You, I think is another one that's hard to say. It's a bad movie to call it guilty pleasure. I will say, I alluded to it on our unrecorded session, but as I'm looking over there again, I mentioned I'm a sucker for sequels. If the first movie's good and the sequels just aren't that good, I will still like the sequels a little bit more than other people. And I mentioned, and I know Tyler, you defended it too. I mentioned Turtles in Time, the third Ninja Turtles movie. I really enjoy that one. And that one's usually...
It's so bad, but
pretty edited. And you mentioned...
But I was a huge, huge, huge Ninja Turtles fan. Like creepy big Ninja Turtles.
Well, yeah, I'm still a creepy big Ninja Turtles fan.
But what I was saying earlier when we talked about it was the better movie there is take all the crappy stuff in like feudal Japan out and just make a movie of Casey Jones showing samurais around New York City, because that's the best part of the whole movie. Every scene with those guys in it is fantastic.
Very true. Those I mentioned, even though they did good money, and I think some people, there's a big mixed results on it. I know it's cool to not like the Matrix sequels anymore. I enjoy those still. I enjoy them a lot. I appreciate the whole trilogy.
The second one's not bad. The third one is pretty, pretty brutal. You went to bat for something, some sequel, though, I think after we went off the air, that was just awful, and I can't remember what it was.
I can't think of it either. I don't know. I'm looking over here again at my shelf to try to think of some of the sequels.
You went to bat for something, and it made me angry at you.
Not surprised.
How about Ghostbusters 2? You had a soft spot for Ghostbusters 2.
You don't like Ghostbusters 2?
I mean, it's really...
It's okay.
It's vastly... inferior to Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but it's still Ghostbusters. Like, I think that goes back. There's some of the ones there. Ghostbusters 2, I enjoy. Gremlins 2, All Dogs Go to Heaven 2. Here we go.
All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
Yeah, man. That's a classic. That's my childhood right there.
I don't know if I've ever even seen that one.
It's pretty bad because, Charlie Sheen takes over for Burt Reynolds for the voice of
it's horrible.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
it does not hold up well at all. No. Actually, I can't say it doesn't hold up because it was probably never well in the first place.
But if you're gonna go animated sequels, like there's some solid animated sequels out there. Like I'll get down with some Rescuers Down Under.
Oh yeah. Fantastic. Oh, easily. Easily. And Disney typically did decent on the sequels there. There's some
they
other
did for a little bit and then they went very direct to video with them.
Yeah.
Like they made like 12 Lion King and Aladdin sequels, I think, something like that.
And they were not good.
They had the Return of Jafar wasn't terrible.
And now they don't really advertise them, but you'll walk into a store and see like they've made like a Cinderella 2 or a Sleeping Beauty 2.
103 Dalmatians.
And then they'll put them in a pack because they'll do their diamond edition of the first one that's theatrical. And then they'll have like all the sequels in one pack over here on one disc usually too. Oh, here's the four other Lion King movies just on one disc for you. So.
And she must be popular right now, but apparently Tinkerbell from Peter Pan has like 15 of her own movies.
Oh, they roll out like at least two a year right now on there. It's, yeah, Disney, that's a cash cow for Disney. And anyways, Adam defended some too. Well, we'll never get to know those on air at least. But guilty pleasures was a big topic for us, and we definitely want to hear what your guilty pleasures are. As we mentioned last time too, we won't make fun of you, even though we make fun of Aaron for Jack and Jill and other Adam Sandler movies. But let us know in the comments for your guilty pleasures, what they are. It's fun to share that stuff. But
to be fair, we make fun of Aaron not because because I don't think she's willing to admit that they are guilty pleasures. Like she literally thinks that they're good movies. That's what we make fun of her for. Let's be honest. Your microphone's not on, Aaron. You can yell at me all you want. But you're
okay, 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 okay. So I don't think that they're guilty pleasures because I don't sit down and say, I want to watch this because I just absolutely love it. It's one of those things where I watched it and I said, that was kind of cute. I will never watch it again in my entire life. But it wasn't as crappy as I thought it would be. I don't feel like I wasted my life, which is how I usually feel when I watch a movie I don't like.
I just think it's funny because
it doesn't mean it's a guilty pleasure.
The consensus will be like just god awful on a movie, like a Jack and Jill, and you will totally go to bat for it. And the consensus will be like, no, that was a really good movie, and you will literally eviscerate it.
I don't really want to see it because the title sounds boring.
Just ask Peter Jackson or Kingsman. Okay, that title sounded terrible. It sounded boring.
A lot of people agree with me on Peter Jackson and his boring direction.
I've only heard about one.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that if we were to split the populace into parts that really, really like Lord of the Rings movie, really, really like... and really don't like Lord of the Rings movies and made those like a pie graph. And then we split the populace.
This isn't fair. That's not what my complaint is. I just think that if somebody else directed it besides Peter Jackson, it would be better. I've said it a million times.
I will
like
give
movies, but I hate Peter Jackson. And I think he did a good job.
I will give Aaron the Peter Jackson argument, though. I have heard that from other people. And to be honest, I enjoy the Lord of the Rings movies, but I don't love them to the level other people do because I do feel like he was just...
Because you're illiterate and you haven't read a book?
No, because I'm halfway through The Martian right now.
Making a good film.
All 250 pages of it?
I've read multiple. I even have you recorded on a previous episode of you saying, previous books I recommended to you, you read and stuff. So as much as you want to deny that I've read.
All two of them that I've recommended.
As much as you want to deny that I've read Jurassic Park and The Lost World and some other books.
All right, fine. I'll let you have the Peter Jackson's maybe not the best director ever, but those are pretty solid movies. Robert Redford's still the man.
I will not defend her on that one. I won't defend her on her hate for Robert Redford.
There's a lot of people who think that Robert Redford was
overrated.
I love how she
that one. That one I can't. I haven't heard a lot of that. She can say a lot of people don't think Peter Jackson did the best job, especially after the Hobbit trilogy happened. I know there was a lot more people that got on the.
I definitely got on board after the Hobbit, but Aaron. I just love how Aaron always invokes
Not Robert Redford.
I love how Aaron always invokes this like super, super, super silent majority whenever she says something. It's like a lot of people that I've made up in my head that you've never heard from are totally out there.
No, I've heard it.
A majority of Americans have
You're
said
hearing voices,
to me personally, but no to no one else ever that this is true.
One other thing we definitely had to cover that I wanted to get into for this re-recording of the first half was the box office with Ant-Man. So Marvel topped the box office again. And Bob, how many consecutive Marvel movies was that to have opening weekend at number one? 12 consecutive.
12 consecutive. And lower, actually, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it was lower than previous ones, but it was still bigger than I don't know. Some people thought it was bigger than I thought Ant-Man was going to open with at least a few weeks ago. As they got closer, the reviews kept getting better and better I was like, okay.
It was a couple million lower of the initial predictions, and it's their lowest opening weekend for Marvel ever, but still their 12th consecutive let's win the weekend. So,
but it's like I said, it's one of those, do I really? I mean, there was a lot of negative buzz at the very beginning because Edgar Wright was originally the director. He left because of creative differences, but his name is all over the credits in this film.
And it's Paul Rudd talking to ants.
Yeah. But it's a fun movie. It really is. It's enjoyable. It's funny. Got a great cast and some real good secret scenes at the very end.
So, and you said there was still definitely, I know you and Adam both mentioned there was still,
like I think it's got
Edgar Wright's. Well, not only that, you could see Edgar Wright's fingerprints on it still, even though he's not directing it. What is it? I mean, I don't know. That Pixel's coming in strong. Aaron might buy a bunch of tickets for it, so competing with Ant-Man this weekend. But you mentioned, Tyler, you brought up when we talked about the box office this weekend, a good one that might sneak in there just because of the director's tie to Fault in the Stars.
Well, it's this. It's based on the same. It's based on a story by the same author as The Fault in Our Stars. But
director, author, like you said, I'm illiterate, so it doesn't matter to me.
Well, and Southpaw, I think the marketing hasn't been super strong for Southpaw, but the buzz has been pretty good. And
yeah,
Jake Gyllenhaal looks like a beast in it, but it's not as a. It's not a super wide release. It's only like 2,700 theaters. But
yeah, it's. I think it's still going to do good. I mean, it's good counter programming for the.
It's a tough call between those three movies because Southpaw is definitely the prestige movie. Pixels is definitely the mindless, you know, comedy movie. And then Paper Towns definitely is going to hit that, you know, teen demographic, people who love Fault in Our Stars. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, Southpaw is like the first prestige film of the summer. I mean, and it's usually right around the end of July, 1st of August. You know, a couple years ago, there was The Help. I think The Butler was one that came out around this time. You know, this is usually the time when Hollywood will maybe throw out a prestige film, you know, that might attract Oscar voters later on in the year. And I think Southpaw has a possibility. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal, from what I've seen and what I've read, is probably going to get nominated.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's not been, and typically the past few, especially the past, I don't want to say few years, but a handful of years, you've seen those award contenders, like obvious award contenders, even pop up earlier in the year. And this year it seems like they're holding them all for the back of the year again.
Yeah, you know, because I mean, I think the only film last year that was released before the summer that actually did well in awards time was Grand Budapest Hotel. And by the way,
last year's award season.
That was And by the way, I just actually saw the preview for Woody Allen's new film.
Really?
Looks really irrational. It's called Irrational Man.
I'll need to check that out.
Joaquin Phoenix, and Emma Stone, and looks really good. Looks really good. And that's kind of out in limited release right now.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it a few months back. The reviews, early reviews from the limited reviews have not been super kind, though. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, didn't realize he was – wasn't he, like, going to go to jail, you know, for, like, marrying his daughter and stuff? And
no, just because you don't like him and you feel that he created this – that he was doing things and created this whole environment that got doesn't mean that he's like actually on trial for it. Like there has never been any legal kind of thing with Woody Allen in terms of that situation.
I think she confuses him with Roman Polanski.
No. There was talks of his ex-wife, the adopted daughter that he married.
Yeah, but she was actually over 18. So she was actually an adult.
There wasn't anything in it that was like illegal. It was all like, this is, I'm going to tell these stories because it was salacious.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I think that anybody who's willing to marry someone who was at one time their adopted daughter, I think that there might have been something more to it. And I feel like it's just like with all those football players who people like, oh, no. They really didn't do it because they didn't go to court and whatever. And it was just some woman rambling about something.
First of all, Ray Allen was never proven guilty of murder. And he's a good person. So let's back off
the football players here. I think it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't.
Now, Ray Rice on the other hand.
Not very forgiving.
That guy a little over. Another trailer, too, because we did talk about trailers in the second half. So those will come up here more, too. But bringing up Woody Allen's trailer, the one that dropped that I watched it 4 times in a row this morning, the new Spectre trailer.
So excited about Spectre.
Goodness, but the new trailer. Did you watch the new trailer, Tyler?
I watched the new trailer. It's amazing. I'm just sad because this is it for Mendez and Craig. So
yeah, and Craig said he doesn't want anymore.
I don't know where Bond goes from here, but I'm pumped about this one.
Yeah, looks great. Looks really good.
Looks incredible. And Christoph Waltz, I mean, from the first time, like when you first see him in Inglourious Basterds, you're like, this guy's born to be a Bond villain. This is born to be a Bond villain. And Bautista, born to be Bond villain muscle. And Monica Bellucci, why has she not been a Bond girl before this time? Like these are like, I feel like the cast for this Bond movie might be as strong as like, I don't even go back to what Man with Golden Gun. We're talking about Sir Christopher Lee, you know, as that villain. Like I feel like you weak and I don't know because we still got a few months before it comes out, but I feel like there's a possibility we could leave that theater in November and be like, this is the next iconic Bond villain right here. You know, Christoph Waltz is it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Well, and with the whole, they rebooting it and playing up the Spectre now for the first time. I mean, they're playing him, like, they haven't really said, but they're playing him as the new version equivalent of Blofeld. Like, he is the new, you know, leader of Spectre, apparently. I mean, that's definitely the idea we're getting.
And, well, that,
and,
I mean,
and Blofeld has become, like, not just the iconic Bond villain, he's the iconic super spy, super villain. Like, he's Dr. Evil. He's everyone's modeled after him, and the cap, yeah, and the scar, no, the bald head.
Agreed. And I don't think the trailer is hiding that at all. I mean, it makes it very clear. But there's that scene in the trailer where he starts talking to Bond directly, and then he just looks up over at him in that crowd. And it's like, oh my goodness, like the tension between those two, like that moment. But there's so many great moments in that trailer. But
the line at the end where he says, I am the artist of your pain. Oh, that was just like, oh, yeah, that's so cool.
And you just, in Christoph Waltz's voice too, like it's just perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and then, yeah, you get gadgets, you get car, you get Bond going a little bit rogue, taking a much overdue vacation in Mexico City, as he says. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm pretty stoked for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, by the way, actually it was good that we kind of did this on Wednesday, because yesterday Jurassic World became the number 3 biggest box office film in the world.
Wow. All time?
All time. It jumped over Avengers.
Really?
So I think it's only like 40 million before it goes over Titanic.
Really? And I think it's still in enough theaters that it can get there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Definitely.
I hit record this time. All right. So plenty of guilty pleasures there, of course. Let's talk a little bit about what is happening now, though. I know some of you guys are excited about a few things. All of us should be excited about a few things. Can I say enough right there in that span? Anyways, Tyler, Adam started a new book recently.
I did. I don't know if Tyler started it or not. So
I started it, but I was already in the middle of like 2 other books, so I couldn't get really into it. Well, so I
can we can I, we introduce the book first before we go into detail too much about it? Or
Tyler and I both started reading Ernest Cline's second book, Armada. So he is the author of Ready Player One. We have a review of Ready Player One on the site. I'll hopefully have a review of Armada by the end of the week.
There we go.
So we'll see.
Site promotion.
We'll see about that. Really, it's very Ernest Cline, I guess I would say, from what I've gotten through so far, which is about 87%. So really fun and enjoyable. It's a good read.
Speaking of book reviews, Tyler, go ahead and talk about the other books you're reading.
I've almost got them done. I've just finished 2 books, and I've got the reviews started. I just haven't finished them yet. I get weird about them, and I get all perfection-y, and then I delete entire paragraphs.
man, you got editors.
I'm playing this part for those publishers that will never see books from again.
Yeah, and then the other reason I got into books right before Armada, I forgot Armada was coming out. I even already had pre-ordered it, so it showed up on my Kindle, and then I was in the middle of 2 other books, because about a week or so ago, they announced the World Fantasy Award nominees for 2015, and anytime like the Hugos, the Nebulas, or the World Fantasy Awards get announced, I always will go back, and if I missed any of them, I'll read them. And I only read like 1 of the nominees this year for World Fantasy, which is kind of disappointing. So I've gone back and I read The Goblin Emperor by Catherine Addison last week, and I'm about done with City of Stairs by Robert Jackson Bennett, and they're both pretty awesome. So check those out too. Nice. They both came out like over a year ago or last year. So they've been out for a while, so they're easy to find. But Goblin Emperor, pretty solid, and I'm enjoying City of Stairs. It's very different, so. But I have started started Armada, and it seems very Ernest Cline-y so far. So
The Martian will be here tomorrow, and then I will be reading books.
The Martian by Andy Weir. Who
wrote that Martian, Iggy?
I don't remember. I'll have to wait till my book gets here to see. I can't remember for some reason. I don't know. Anyways, Adam, are you enjoying this new book from Cline?
I am. So I picked it up Thursday and read it all day, and then read it all day again on Friday, And then my life started happening and I had to stop reading and do life related things like, you know, packing my house. And I went and saw a soccer game and Ant-Man this weekend. So I didn't read during those times. But I am close to being done. It's right there with Ready Player One. As far as I'm concerned, people that were expecting something different or something not Ernest Cline are probably upset. I've read some half-hearted reviews from people who aren't completely on board with Armada, and I don't get that. I think it's really good. I enjoy it.
Is so all pop culture all the time? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know what people want. Like, there's a lot of really good references, especially if you've played old video games. Tyler, depending on how far you are into it, I mean, they really get into some stuff that's just before our time. So, like,
they get some deep cuts.
Well, getting the Activision high score patches.
By
taking a Polaroid of your high score on your system, and then Activision would mail people like patches for jackets and stuff like that. So
it's
pretty
fun,
cool. Though. Yeah,
I don't know. I loved Ready Player One, so we'll see what happens. But Ready Player One hit all the notes for me because it wasn't just video games; it was books and movies and music and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. I've enjoyed what I've read so far, but you're right; it's very Ernest Cline-y. It also looks like it's the better version of Pixels. Like,
yes, I think
it's basically like the plot of Pixels, only like done better.
Yeah. She's too caught up on her iPad.
No. I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
Why would I care? Why would I respond to that? So I'm just done.
Did you not just respond to that by saying, why would I respond to that?
I only had to respond because I had to prove to you that I was listening.
Oh, okay. Okay. Validated. All right. Back to your game. Anyways. Yeah, seems interesting. His publisher is making good use of Facebook advertising, that's for sure. I have seen that book all over Facebook in the past week. But it is available online. Check it out. Adam, I bet we'll get that review in before Tyler gets his book review in. Just saying.
Probably.
Throwing it up there.
That's not an uncommon thing to happen. So.
Just throwing it in there. I was trying to challenge him a little bit. Yeah, he just caved. So
I've been really busy. I'm just really sorry.
So anyways, speaking of reviews, I'm excited because possibly around the time this airs, maybe shortly after, we will have what's the new Justice League Gods and Monsters. So we have it all over our pasted all over our
Ooh,
site now.
Yeah.
But that's on our way to us for an early review copy. So we will take a look at that. I will probably hit that up personally just because I'm really interested in that one.
And I'm intrigued by that because the trailer definitely paints an interesting picture. So I'm curious to see where it goes. And anything that Paul Dini's involved in, I'm on board with. So
that's the one that kind of picked up the Injustice video game storyline, right?
I really don't know.
I think so.
Not sure.
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I thought I had seen.
The Injustice video game line or the... Because they made a pretty hardcore graphic novel based off of Injustice as well. And that's the one where we talked about it a couple weeks ago where Superman just goes off the chains on the Joker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah. So there's that story that I know was in the video game. I didn't read the graphic novel, so I'm not sure.
Cool. I never did the story mode on the game. I own it, but we always just played it multiplayer that I never...
Oh, dude, no, do the story mode. It's super good.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to check it.
It's a fighting game with a story, which I thought was just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I haven't done that. And I knew that, too. Like, you're reminding me of that, but I guess I never, just because we only pulled it out when you guys were over and we were playing fighting games. So, anyways, mm-hmm. But speaking of that, the animated DC, Mark Hamill did come out this week, wants to voice the Joker in the animated adaptation of The Killing Joke.
He needs to do Joker in everything. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it. I'm fine with that. And actually, yes. his Joker personality in the animated sense, I think is perfect for the Joker Alan Moore created in that graphic novel.
Oh, everyone knows that anything that Alan, there's no perfect non-comic version of anything Alan Moore created. Just ask Alan Moore.
Alan Moore, he had another recent interview hit too. That was always
he went full Alan Moore again. And like the sad thing about Alan Moore is a lot of the things he says have like a kernel of, I think, I don't want to say truth because they're very philosophical tangents he goes off onto, but they all very much have things in them that like
you feel true, but he takes such a crazy ass bent on them. They make you want to be like, I like you, Alan Moore, and I want to be on your side, but you just,
you're psychotic.
You took it another step further.
Well, he gets one person posts online something negative about his stuff, and then he will defend it in interviews 12 years later about how that's not the fact. So yeah, he's a little bit over the top. I did this interview, which he called his last interview, and it was sent to him by the paper. I don't remember what country it's in. It's a European country. Sent to him around Christmas time, and he finally returned the responses to them here recently for the interview, you know, because Alan Moore does what Alan Moore wants to do. But, you know, he talks a lot about Alan Moore, like he typically does. but he also, one thing I will give him, and it related to the Killing Joke, and I think that's part of the reason it got brought up, because I know this last winter we saw a lot of that kickback too. Maybe it was a little later when we saw that kickback of the artwork, the recreation of the cover, and it was like the Joker, you know, signaling rape, and everybody freaks out. And Alan Moore, the one thing in his recent interview that he made a good point, I don't want to say I defend him for using it, but he makes a really good point in why he said there is that in there. There was a claim that he uses a lot of sexual violence in his work. And he says, less sexual violence than you'd say, but the reason people notice it, it's because it's there, and other writers won't touch it at all. And he said, I just don't understand, because we live in this world, this comic world, where the crimes of murder can be just 20 times, you know, like it can just be so much more than it is in reality. But as soon as somebody touches on a, you know, a sexual violence crime, then it's a no-go. It's, you know, it's both are bad, but I get what he's saying. Like he's trying to paint more of a reality. And in instances like the Killing Joke, I think everything that happens in that, it very much moves the story, which is a really good story. But I don't know. I would say I can't think of a lot of times where he has, I mean, he does have some sexual violence, but it's not like every story he wrote has it in there.
I think it's interesting in terms of the fact that comics have these hyper-sexualized women in them. Like they're drawn disproportionate in their body types and stuff like that. So it's really interesting that that's not ever touched on, like, oh, we don't do that in comics. Sorry. And he's like, oh, that doesn't make sense.
And there's two very strong instances of it in Alan Moore's work, and it's Killing Joke and then Watchmen. And in both cases, like I said, Killing Joke, it really, I mean, the Joker goes from just some comedian with face paint on to some writers to a just over-the-top psychotic person. You talk about, I mean, with Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, the guy just gets out of, you know, the loony bin and then just starts smashing people, like literally just kills an audience full of people. And you have him on all those ranges. But in Watchmen, I think it's very critical because spoilers, I guess we're way past that. But, you know, she talks about how something beautiful comes from this tragedy. You know, that's such a representation for life, not just that situation. But additionally, like, every single character in The Watchmen has such a different point of view on life. And that's the comedian's view. That's the comedian's view, is that, you know, the way he looks at other people, the way he looks at women. And like you said, there are really tons of men out there that look at women the way the comedian does in real life. And it really paints a view of all these different people and how they see the world. And I think it's very important.
Yeah. And I think his biggest thing a lot of times is, number one, is he feels like people misinterpret his work, which is true of a lot of artists, but there's definitely there's always been that give and take with any sort of author about, you know, once you've released something to the world, you know, is it still yours? You know, it's not, how precious can you be about how you meant a thing to be, because people might find other things in it. And then the other thing is he always feels like he'll draw these very delineated lines of morality and philosophy, and then people will end up rooting for the wrong character. Rorschach, for instance, like everyone loves Rorschach. He's typically people's favorite character in Watchmen, but he is a nut job, moral absolutist, like fascist. Like he's not the character you're supposed to identify with. But unfortunately, because of the way he drives the story, people are like, oh my God, that guy's awesome. He's got a cool mask and he kills bad guys. But he's by far the most like black and white moral absolutist nut job in it. And that was a lot of his more recent comments, was talking about how
superheroes have become this weird, you know, jingoistic, I don't know what the word is, like almost like fascist. Like it's like we talk about these ideals of truth, justice, the American way, but then we have these all powerful people who just have carte blanche to do whatever they want. And it creates this cultural, these cultural characters that are, you know, what's the word? I don't know. It's Alan Moore being Alan Moore, but like I said, there's always a little element of truth in there. So
it is. And he's not, and as crazy as he is, and as egotistical as he is, he's never saying stuff that he doesn't probably truly mean, I guess is a way to put it. But like when he's dealing with works of superheroes, he doesn't treat them like the way he's complaining about these superheroes over here being. He's not a hypocrite about it, I guess is what I'm saying. Because we go back to the Killing Joke, we go back to the times, you know, he's worked for the superhero ones. His biggest successes, of course, obviously have these not typical heroes, the Watchmen, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Swamp. But you do have, you know, when he does touch these, it's not, like you said, this just typical, I swoop in, save the day, and everybody's happy, it's over. But I don't know. I could go on Alan Moore and his works for forever, as Tyler, obviously. But the whole point was Mark Hamill. We'd love to see him back as the Joker. We're doing a really good job of like, goodness. Those always make for the best episodes.
Go to the, on the side? No, never.
Those always make for the best episodes. But anyways, Mark Hamill as the Joker, the Killing Joke. He's got our support. I'd love to see him there. Also talking about Mark Hamill, very funny. We shared the gallery last week of Amy Schumer's Star Wars pictures from GQ magazine. And very funny, Adam, I believe you commented somewhere, I don't remember where, you commented that I can't believe that Disney would let them use the Star Wars stuff for these images. The very next morning, all that came out that Disney was like, no, we did not allow this at all. They were not pleased with it. My favorite headline in all that, though, was Disney not pleased with Amy Schumer picks, but Mark Hamill is. So that's all I got to say there.
Right. I think that wins. Trump card.
Perfect. So, Tyler, in the break, you pointed out new trailers.
Not a ton. There's a new one for Pan, which I still don't know how I feel about that or what I think about it. But
I'm really excited for that one.
I'm intrigued. The big one, though, the big one was they finally released the trailer for Iñárritu's new film, The Revenant, the next film that Leonardo DiCaprio will not win an Academy Award for. it looks ridiculous, visceral, and just... It's this whole inspired by true events. It's with Leonardo DiCaprio and Aaron, it's got Tom Hardy in it. You can come back to the
Is there a movie coming out from like October through 2016 that doesn't have Tom Hardy in it besides Star Wars?
No, he's I don't know. There's a few that I think he turned down that Chris Pratt's going to be in. But
is that? Okay, just curious.
So what's his name? Someone needs to call. What's his name? He hasn't been in a movie for a while. Joel Edgerton. I feel like we could put him in some more movies.
Oh, speaking of that. Because it's Edgerton and Hardy together in Warrior. Oh,
yeah. And then what's his name? Clash of the Titans and Salvation and
Sam Worthington.
Sam Worthington.
I feel like it's time to stick him in a movie now.
No, he's working on all those Avatar sequels. Yeah.
Well, he's in Everest coming out in October.
What's he got coming out?
That Mount Everest movie.
Oh, that's right. He is in that one.
The Everest movie
with James Brolin and
Gyllenhaal.
Jake Sully does return for Avatar 2 and 3. Yes, so he will be in those a little bit more CGI full time, but no more wheelchairs for him. But he will be in those, and is my understanding Cameron's got the work, you know, the whip out for him. He's working him hard on that.
But the trailer for The Revenant looks crazy.
I'm really going to enjoy the Academy Awards where Tom Hardy wins for The Revenant and Leonardo DiCaprio does.
That's the
not.
Best thing about it. Like, I could see this film between Hardy and Iñárritu. I mean, I feel like the Academy just does it now because it's funny.
Like I feel like The Revenant is going to
go and win for like
cinematography and writing and direction and supporting actor, and Leo's just going to sit there, sadly.
Smiling and clapping for all of his castmates, yep.
I feel like he probably doesn't care. He makes a ton of money.
I want him to go on stage when it wins Best
Picture.
That's
all the reward he needs.
They're going to not allow him to be
And not let him touch it. Like, not, yeah. No. Let him go on stage, but don't let him, like, hold the statue. Like, he has to reach for it, and they, like, pull it out.
Don't do this to our careers, man. Don't do this. That's funny. I think eventually, yeah, hopefully at some point they give him a lifetime achievement award or something.
He's going to get a Scorsese Oscar where he does this movie. Everyone's like, oh, it was pretty good. And they're going to be like, oh no, Leo gets that's his Academy Award picture.
No, he'll get the Hirschfeld Award, and it's not even an Oscar. It's that bust of Hirschfeld.
And he'll throw it on the ground. on stage hopefully takes it.
Boom.
This is what I think about this. Boom. Argo, fuck yourself, and then walks off the stage.
The gist of it is, go watch the trailer for Revenant because it's something special. And then
I need to. I haven't watched it yet.
And then there is the trailer for Sisters that just came out, which is the re-teaming up of Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I want to talk about Adam Sandler, like, just casting his friends. Like, I feel like these two, you just put them together. Do they even give them a script anymore? They're just like, get in front of the camera.
They don't need a script. They're funny anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the movie isn't like, what was that, Baby's Mama or whatever?
Baby Mama.
Oh.
You didn't like Baby Mama?
No, it was terrible.
That was adorable.
They didn't write this. Like, neither of them wrote this one or anything like that. It's written and directed by other people, but I think, I don't know. It's Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and people like that. So it's got other people. It's got James.
Yeah, I like James them Bowie, at the.
Maya Rudolph.
I like them Cena. Together on stage at the Golden Globes. I don't really need them in another movie together. I don't know. So those are the trailers. Exciting. I'll need to check some out. I've been behind on trailers as well.
What have you been doing?
There's this thing called Project Nerd.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. We knocked out
Criterion sale. That's right.
No, I don't even go up there. I just send the family up there while I'm working. But, because if I go by myself, it's not going to end well. Send them with, here's the coupon. Here's the one or two movies we need. If I go with the coupon or one or two movies we need and I come back with a stack of 12, I'm like, well, I didn't have any of these. What was I supposed to do?
And you forgot to get the one or two that you needed.
No,
I'm
going to forget. I do have to go back, though, for The Fisher King. I'm pretty excited for that one. But anyways, a lot of Project Nerd content coming up. We got tons of reviews going up. I prep a lot of those posts. And then, of course, a lot of original content down the pipeline. And I'm still editing interviews, and we had like a week and a half without an interview, so I figured we need to get some interviews back up this week since we're still doing interviews from Denver Comic Con and O Comic Con. So if you did an interview with us and you've been emailing us, there's that. Oh, not to mention that, Project Cosplay kind of became a bigger thing in the first week than we thought it was going to be. So we recorded before the public announcement and kind of announced it at the end of last week's podcast. And then it turns out, like, the day of the public press release, like 250 people go like this Facebook page. And it's like, oh, yeah, so people are interested in this. We're going to have to figure it out. But we do have a lot of photographers applying. So if you are interested in it as a cosplayer, definitely go check out project-cosplay.com. So projectcosplay.com. Learn more. Tickets go on sale July 31st. If you're interested in as a photographer, our list is huge right now. So I'm not telling anybody yes right away because I want to see who else we get, because we got a lot of photographers.
Maybe phrase that a different way.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't want to get back to you right away because we might get someone better than you.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's exactly what you just said.
No, it's not like, what I'm
not,
saying.
I'm not. Go ahead and apply, but I'm not letting anyone know just yet.
Okay.
Someone might apply that's better than you.
I apologize for it sounding badly, but in the end, what I'm saying is that we're getting emails and messages and stuff like that, and I don't want to miss everybody, so I'm actually gathering it all on a list, and I, like I do with Project Nerd stuff, am going to make a group of other people look at it so people don't get angry at me for the decision. There you go, Tyler. Is that better?
But am I going to have an Excel sheet?
Seriously, though, we're
going
to wait till everyone's
color coded and will let me know what's going on. I need that Excel sheet.
It's not an Excel sheet, Adam. It's a Google spreadsheet.
And if you are if you're a photographer who has applied or will apply, and you get left out of Project Cosplay, it's Aaron Lay's fault.
Blame it on her. Anyways, honestly, we have limited space for this first time, but because of the demand and the response, if it goes successful, we will obviously have many more of these with bigger turnouts, so more photographers to be added. So
one away from 300.
If anybody gets angry, is that $299 or anything?
Exactly $299.
That is crazy. We're not even going to sell 299 tickets, people, so you better be ready for July 31st if you're listening.
So can I already ask what my job at this is going to be?
Yeah, you're doing behind-the-scenes photos and podcast stuff.
Oh, okay.
And behind the cosplay. Oh, yeah.
And you're gonna party so much.
And we're doing fun. And we're getting our events in order too. Hopefully.
Oh, I thought I get to sit at the registration desk.
You can do that too. You can do it all, dude. I'm gonna disappear come Friday about 4 o'clock when that thing starts. And Bob, you got it. I trust you.
I will hunt you and I will find you, Iggy.
Yeah, right.
You're
like
gonna,
I would just
be at the hotel
I would
bar.
Just bail an event. Well, luckily the hotel bar is right there. So I could be we could set up the registration table at the hotel bar.
That works for me.
I'm just waiting to see
tips on the registration table.
He's already put the photography choice off on someone else. Like, I don't want anyone to be able to blame me. Like, I just want to see who he can put stuff on at the actual con. Like, I feel like Adam is gonna get a lot of people like hunting him down. Iggy told me to come find you about this problem.
It's not my fault. Adam is the events coordinator.
I'm a problem solver, buddy. That's what I do.
It's a problem, Adam, problem solver.
We're going to have walkie-talkies, and Iggy's won't have a battery in it.
Can we have – speaking of, I watched Horrible Bosses too, finally, which was pretty funny. And they had the Hello Kitty walkie-talkies. Can we get those?
You can buy whatever you want to buy.
Do what you want. You're the boss. Okay,
anyways, have y'all seen Horrible Bosses 2 yet?
I haven't seen Horrible Bosses 1.
First of all, go watch the first one and then go watch the second one. And I might say the second one it might even be better. They're both just fun. They're not like, oh my goodness, these are life-changing comedies like Office Space.
This is a guilty pleasure.
Not even a guilty pleasure. They're actually
like me
pretty
Chris
well
Pine.
Pretty.
It's
Chris Pine.
Based on what I've heard about the second one, that's probably a guilty pleasure. I know a lot of people love the first one, but
the
based on the popular appeal of the second one, I feel like you're talking about a guilty pleasure here.
No, I don't know. I thought it was better than the first one, maybe. Chris
I realize
Pine.
That you think that, like Aaron thinks lots of things, but it doesn't make it true.
I get Aaron is in the wrong, but I'm in the right.
So what does that mean if I agree with you? Because then that means that you're wrong.
Then I've royally messed up. I have royally messed up at this point then. Okay. All right, kids. So we are running out of time. We've covered a number of things, Tyler. We're in that last section of time, so this is where I ask you. Is there anything else you'd
Horrible
like
Bosses 1, 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. Horrible Bosses 2, 35% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You remember how I mentioned earlier about my guilty pleasures are sequels to movies that I liked? So I'm just saying.
No, I realize what you're saying, but we tried to put you in the box of like that's a guilty pleasure. No, it's better than the first one.
I thought it did better. Did it at least do decent at the box office? I thought I heard a lot about it.
I'm sure it did fine at the box office based on how popular the first one was. I'm just saying generally people were not big fans of it. I mean, the audience score on it was 49% and
fine.
The first one was probably like 90 something. Let's see. Yeah. 70%. So
fine. To redeem myself, I will tell you, if you have access to HBO or HBO Go, go watch 7 Days in Hell. That is a funny 45 minutes for you right there. And I will stand behind that one as it not being a guilty pleasure. It is quite hilarious, but definitely something interesting. So that's my final note. You guys, hey, let's do a final note. So I'm feeling like, you know, like around the horn where they all get to do that like spiel of like, well, this athlete did this week and I have to say about this. All right. So we'll start with you, Bob. On the spot.
Damn, put me on the spot. I really have to say Ant-Man is definitely much better than everybody expected. Paul Rudd is great. Michael Douglas is good. It has two stingers at the very end that you have to watch, and both of them are actually...
Or just go on Facebook, and you'll find out about them, by the way.
True. That's true. But definitely, best Marvel film of the year. I mean, that and Guardians of the Galaxy, probably the best Marvel movies for a while. But definitely go see it.
All right. Ant-Man shout out. Tyler, your closing remarks.
Two things. One last guilty pleasure thing we didn't mention earlier. NBC is bringing back Warrior Xena Princess next year. They've got Sam Raimi and what's his name? The other big producer for it. Rob Tappert on board. Whether or not Lucy Lawless will be involved is yet to be determined, but more Xena Warrior Princess. And then in my weekly, let's talk about Star Wars more. Benicio del Toro is going to continue to cash those Disney checks as he has been offered a villain role in Star Wars Episode 8, which would be the sequel to the one coming out.
I'm down for that.
This winter.
Aaron, closing remarks.
Well, I think that Pixels is going to be a good film. thoroughly enjoyable. And if you're a fan of video games from
But are you going to see it?
Yes, I will see it. I would like to see it in theaters. I can't make that promise, but I would like to. And I'm going to sit there with my man Peter Dinklage and enjoy it thoroughly. You know, what would be awesome is if somebody cosplayed. I feel like the character Peter Dinklage is playing in that movie would be a great cosplay.
Get the guy who did Chucky.
All right. Freak. In Chicago. Adam, closing remarks.
Definitely pick up Armada. Read that book if you haven't had the chance to. Also, I've been playing a lot of Batman Arkham Knight, and I want everyone to know that I am the knight. And so just if you have any issues, just let me know. I'll get you a giant symbol with Adam written across it so that I know to come help save you. So.
Adam's not saying he is Batman. He's just saying, have you ever seen him and Batman in the same room together?
No, you have not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
True statement. Yeah.
All right, guys. So that's it for episode 3, season 5. We will be back next week. Of course, throughout this past week, I guess, too, I'll throw out a couple more notes about the site. We do have another Geek Fuel box on our way to us, so we'll have an unboxing video soon, and we'll also do it on the podcast, probably next week's, actually. And then, of course, Dragon Con is around the corner for us, so seeing coverage from that. But also Rocky Mountain Con. Actually, no, Dragon Con was one of the announcements because we forgot to do it. So Dragon Con announced this week, finally, on our social media. And Tallgrass Film Festival in October. We're heading back down to Wichita for the third straight year.
Woohoo!
We do love going to that one. Was that Bob who woohooed?
Yeah, of course.
Bob's ready. You better get those fingers ready. You got to be marathoning. Marathon those reviews. So anyways, with that, and we got a little visit here if Aaron was paying attention. We're on video, of course, still, even though nobody can see it.
Hello, she's Laura.
Aaron. Okay, never mind. We'll move on because Aaron's just not getting it.
Hi, Laura.
So anyways.
When you say
we have
that,
a visit here, Aaron turns around, looks at the wall behind her, oh, there's something in my wall. No.
Well, I didn't know.
No, she looks up because Adam's above her.
No. Oh, no, she's on the top for me here.
Oh, she's on the bottom for me.
Adam and Bob, you're on the bottom. But anyways, that's it for us this week, of course. Keep track with our Pro Nerd Tour announcements, Project Cosplay over at project-cosplay.com, and all the awesome original content we have coming out and not original content. You know, we share great cosplay galleries.
Just the things. We have lots of the things.
It is. The site is super active right now.
The stuff and the things. Yeah.
Awesome.
We are the Internet of Things.
Yes. All right. So was it same bat time, same bat channel, or until next week?
Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
It's a really good chance that you, the listener right now, not you, but you, the one I'm talking to right now, may or may not be today, Friday, the 10,000th listener of this month's pod.
No.
They're already coming down fast?
Yeah, we'll broke 10,000 by
then. You might be the 15,000th listener this month.
That one could be if they're listening to it at the end of the month or maybe even next month and it's towards the end, you know. We'll see. But yes.
Can we get
not to make you feel unspecial.
Great numbers ad. I don't know. We can't see exactly who the 10,000th listener was. Bob did.
I'm the world's greatest detective.
Okay. That's right.
I will find you.
All right.
And we will give you a high five.
That was not a threat, by the way. Nobody's threatening it. All right. So until next week.